Now I'd like to introduce Jim McDonough from the Zumba team and also working for Novell on the topic improving the AD, Linux desktop experience.
Do I have to unmute this? Oh, there we go. It's wonderful to have someone who can pronounce my name and doesn't live in Boston, so that's thank you very much for that. It's interesting that, as John noted this morning, we are, as part of this growing up that we're doing, where a lot of us are hitting the same problems at the same time. If you look, we've had one talk already, another talk now, and the missed keynote that you'll get to see tomorrow is all really in a quite similar area that the distro speakers are targeting. We're hitting this idea of managing large amounts of client machines, server machines, desktop machines, but we didn't plan this. We didn't plan to get together. I really didn't know what Seema was going to do until today, and the fact that he got asked the question that was a good lead into my talk was not planned at all. We just simply are hitting that time in our growth where managing large amounts of large numbers of machines is something where Samba is going to have to be involved. It's also, my talk's been kind of dynamic. It's been changing as the day goes on, as I learn things from Gunther and Simo. And so let me take you through.
Many of you know that Novell has for a while had interest in the Linux desktop, and so that's really where we look at this. Active Directory and having Linux desktops in with Windows desktops, or even as the only desktops, but we have a large number of customers that use Active Directory, and from their perspective, they are committed to it, and they're not interested in another solution. So let me take you through a little bit of history here, where we are. Today, we have what I would call, well, for lack of a better word, basic integration. Basic is an understatement, or it's not quite accurate, because if you look at the amount of work and the amount of time that went into this, it's pretty impressive. So we have the ability to have common users and groups, and some of the work that's gone on there is pretty impressive. When I had hair, no, that's too far back. When Kasama wasn't even around when I had hair. When I only had one kid, the integration, well, you could use a Windows server to do your authentication, but you still had to define your users locally on Linux. They had to exist there. So we've come a long way. We can take the users through WinBind, through the users, the groups they're in. We have some pretty involved processes going on to get trusts working, nested groups. This is actually pretty impressive stuff. It's far more than basic. Users can authenticate for their logins. They can subject to the same domain password policies that the Windows users are. We create these Kerberos tickets that can be used by other applications, and certainly no small task was getting offline logins to work, where a user can disconnect from the network, go home, be completely disconnected from the network, have logged off, and still log back on with their user and password from that domain. So we'll look at it just from the user's experience first. Like I mentioned, the user will see, come in the morning, log on, have one user ID and password, and it won't matter which box they're logging on to, if it's a Linux one or if it's a Windows one. If they're logging on to another application, perhaps they won't even have to use a different password, user ID and password for that other application if it's AD-based. So they get the same password policy messages. They come in and it's time. It's been 3 months. If you're as lucky as me, every 3 months you get that warning that you got the password policy, a password change coming up that's required. And now, granted, a lot of that work is done on the domain controller, but we have to pass all that along. So the user does get one consistent view in that, from that perspective. The ability is there to have Kerberized applications. I'll show you a little bit later that this can be done with Firefox. And there are a number of command line utilities which of course is not necessarily for the typical corporate desktop user, but some of them will want to use that, and it's convenient for those of us who want to. They'll have automatic access to their shared folders. Now, there's two aspects to this. They don't have to have a separate user ID and password. They don't have to enter a separate user ID and password. But also, they can have it automatically just show up as it does on Windows Box. That's every time they log in, no matter where they log in, they get their same shares. Now, this is done sometimes through the desktop itself. I know that, if you saw me before, I use GNOME, so Nautilus will take care of this for you. You can define which shares you want to connect to automatically, and it will, through libsmb client, use the tickets that you already have and connect, and you don't really see anything happen. It just happens. You can do the same thing through KDE. It can also be accomplished through SSH or just console logins as well through AutoMount and PamMount. So, I mean, that's just basic things working. From the administrator's point of view, well, the story ends a lot sooner because from their point of view, well, just defining the users and the groups, well, that's great. They don't have to manage separate sets. They don't have to replicate things. They can just have that one set. They can use their Windows admins that they already have and not have to worry about administering this other set of users. Some applications, like I said before, are set up so they can use the same credentials. We can do secure DNS updates at domain join time, for example. The user can join the domain, and the administrator doesn't have to worry about some rogue client that doesn't have the authority to update the DNS server with the DHCP ID that they got. So there's a few things that they're able to do. They can give, through AD, the clients, the user, the privilege to join his domain. So a little bit of the headache is gone. But ultimately, the application settings for the desktops, and even for the Linux servers as well, is pretty much independent of Active Directory. As Simo mentioned before, the Linux approach and the Unix approach has tended to be, rather than one big solution for everything, that you look for your specific solution, what works best for you there. The downside of that is that means that in order to administer these applications, the administrators have to go on, they have to have some mechanism to on all these machines, edit text files, XML files, run some scripts. There are some proprietary, or I shouldn't say proprietary, there are some unique languages written for some applications. They maybe even have to administer a separate LDAP server or LDAP within, they can use the AD server, but a separate tree or subtree that they have to manage on some application that was intended to simplify things by having the configuration in LDAP. So ultimately, they end up with a parallel administration of the Linux system. So let me just, I've done some of this already. I mentioned you can, on the web, the users can on their desktop choose which drives they're going to, which shares they can connect to automatically. The administrator can do this through the auto mounter, through some configuration files, but they also have to store the user's plain text passwords, so I would not recommend that you do this. And the unmount is timeout based rather than logouts, so these shares can stick around after users logged off and maybe another user is on. Instead, today I think we would recommend that you use PAM mount, and PAM will then get the password through the PAM stack, or use the Kerberos tickets that have already been obtained through PAM WinBind or PAM KRB5, and this stuff disappears in logout. So this can be done through some text editing and whatever distribution system you have to get the files out to all the clients. Mention that also it can be done with Firefox and Apache can do this to using the netads command, netads keytab command, we can create a keytab, a real keytab, not one that's stored in the secrets file, and add the service principal as needed from the domain controller. Then you have to go and edit the Apache configuration and set everything up. On the Firefox side, you have to go and either in the URL bar and type about config and scroll down or search for the right settings where you can put in the URLs that are allowed to use this, that are allowed to use the Kerberos credentials, or you can just manually edit these configuration files, these prefs.js yourself, and there's some there's more than just these two. There are a number that can be used. So that stuff works, but it's still a lot of setup, a lot of headache for a lot of administrators. So the goal here is centralizing the administration of these applications. Now, centralizing from what perspective? So there have been a lot of efforts to use SIM and WebM, and some of them successful, some of them less than successful. I know that Windows uses WebM for the WMI stuff, and there have been projects Sublime and OpenWebM and OpenPegasus that have tried to manage the whole system, everything, installing the software, configuring the software, monitoring the software, monitoring performance, monitoring the health of it. It's nice. It's got an open standard, but it is pretty tough to get started in this area. There is, to my knowledge, only one case where SOM is managed using this, and Sublime has a module called WebM SMT System Management Task that has a Samba task, and you have to put four layers of programming involved in doing something through WebM. So it's a pretty large amount of code, and I think it's multiple megabytes of code, of source code, just to have the ability to edit your SMB.com remotely. That's the only thing this thing provides, and a lot of effort went into it. There are, for every single SMB.com parameter, there is a class and separate methods for setting it and reading it. Every time you make a change, you have to go and write a lot of tedious code. And there are some tools to make that simpler, but to my knowledge, no one actually uses it. When I asked the guys who wrote this, do you get any feedback on this? And they say, we've never heard anything. So I think it's got its place, but it's not ready for us in the space in terms of managing the desktop and in the areas that I'm talking about. So Simo mentioned Puppet. So it's a pretty nice tool. It's rapidly developing. The usage has grown extremely rapidly, surprisingly rapidly. And it has a very active community. There are officially dozens of pieces of software that they support, but there are repositories that total up to thousands of modules available for administering various applications, systems. The biggest problem from our customer's perspective is they're really committed to AD, and this is just simply, again, something that's completely parallel to AD. It's a separate administration system for all the Linux, Unix-like clients. They do have plans. They say they have plans. I'm not really sure how... I'm not sure if you're aware of any resources that are dedicated to it, but they would like to be able to do this with Windows as well, but they have no details on that, so that's not something that we're really looking at right now. When I talk to my customers, the first three things that they tell me are they want to see an AD domain controller, So you saw some talk on that this morning. They want to see clustered Samba, and as you've seen today, we have that already. And then the next thing they tell me is they want group policies. So I ask them, why do they want group policies? Well, from their perspective, the real reason they want group policies is that they already have group policies. And they can, you can look at all the advantages that it has, but it boils down to the fact that from their perspective, there's no choice. They're committed to it, and if they want to introduce these desktops on a large scale, they need the group policies to work. So some really wonderful things you can do. You can apply multiple policies to users, to machines. And when I say groups, it's a loose term. It's not particularly groups, but you can group things through organizational units. It allows them to say that certain settings will only apply to certain users, other settings will apply to other users. They can have multiple policies apply to one user, and each those policies can have some settings from one application, and another policy can have different settings from that application. And it's incredibly powerful. It's very easy to get lost, to make your systems unusable if you're not careful, but if you get too excited about it. But it allows you to leave some of the things in control of the local machine. From our standpoint, once the infrastructure is in place, it's pretty easy to add something. You just look on the Windows side, and there are thousands of available snap-ins and extensions and just templates for all kinds of applications, even applications on Windows that, like Firefox. It's great also because we should have the ability then to manage the common aspects of Windows and Linux. So, for example, password policies applying to the local machine as well, or if server signing is required, or if you're going to allow something like the shared drives, the map drive function in Windows, you could have something that's pretty much identical to that and manage them from really the same place. And this also applies to server applications. It doesn't have to be the desktop. And the other thing that really drives me in this direction is, thanks to Gunther Deschner. Hi, Gunther. Simo mentioned we have a prototype, and he's given a couple of talks about this, and it's a really good start on what we need. So what we can do today is we can download the policies, we can download the templates, we can actually change some Samba configurations, like these security options can be changed, and through the Samba registry config, you can actually see, based on the policy, settings change. And then these policies get downloaded and applied either through a separate WinBind child, that process that runs and just keeps these things up to date. It can happen when users log on and log off, and it can be done manually through the net command. You can download and apply these policies. It will run startup and shutdown, and that means startup of WinBind and shutdown of WinBind, not of the system, because we can't really. I guess it would be possible, but that's how it's implemented right now. We can't. It's harder to say that we're going to. It's not in Linux right now to run these things at shutdown time. But when users log on and users log off, we can do this. So, what do we need to do next from here? I still think some of the other things are worth looking at besides group policy, but I think we really have the ability to progress here on group policy. And so the next things I think we need to do is we need to finish Gunther's prototype, and that probably means rewriting large chunks of it, which is what you'd expect out of a prototype. A couple of these things, thank you, Gunther, for describing them to me today at lunchtime. there are some unique things that happen with registry settings in Windows that now that we have documentation, we can see how they're actually supposed to work. And we need to get that straightened out. We need to have a more a proper interface to the registry. We need to figure out, for example, and thank you again, Gunther, for this. Imagine a call comes in, it's a SAMR call, that wants to set a minimum password length on a domain controller. Does this affect the group policy? Because there is a setting in the group policies for this. Do you have to keep track of that? These are some things we still have to determine. There are a lot more common, and by common I mean between Windows and Linux settings, that we would just have to go through and implement one by one and decide whether or not they apply. Some of them will apply, some of them will not apply. We need to define a clear client-side extension interface. And we need to do this in one place only, because right now we have a libgpo in Samba 3, we have a libgpo in Samba 4, and we have a libgpo in the source tree right above it. And if you're not, there's some strange interaction between those. So another thing we can do pretty quickly is provide administrative templates. Now, has anybody here ever even implemented a group policy? Okay. So the administrative templates basically let you just set some things up in the registry pretty simply. You don't have to develop your own interface on the group policy management console. You can use the standard one that Microsoft provides, and through a pretty simple language, you just define which settings, which keys are going to get set, and what the possibilities are to set them. And at the same time, you may need, in the case of pretty much any application besides Samba that's actively aware that this stuff is there, you might need a script that accompanies it that takes those registry settings out of Samba and applies them out of the Samba registry and applies them, say, to the configuration file. This is sort of the basic, easy to do. We can do this pretty quickly. So something like sudo or a firewall configuration, you can, with very little code, just define this template, have it download the settings and update the settings as a user logs on or as the system boots. Really easy way to get started. I also think we need to implement a desktop client-side extension because, in particular in the case of GNOME, all the configuration is stored in one place. It's an awful lot like a registry, and you can, for a pretty small, well, I don't think the development is super simple, but it's not a lot of investment. You can get all the GNOME applications in one shot. And in the short term, we might even be able to do this as a demonstration using these administrative templates. But in the longer term, I think we'd have to develop a GUI, a snap-in for the console, so that the users could make a little more sense out of this. I also, and all this is up for discussion, think that it might be helpful to have access to the Samba registry, in fact, in particular, one that just goes and looks at these policy settings. And so this is the sort of thing that you're asking for this morning, Trish,
exactly.
To take the, a query from the client, and instead of the client having to know about the registry, the library would take care of updating the policy if necessary and just returning the values that are needed. So I think we also need to tackle a couple of applications that are commonly used and make it really clear that this is something that can be done. And Firefox is the first one that comes to my mind because it's pretty simple to do. Since this is already done on Windows, there are a lot of complaints. There are a lot of shops that want to implement Firefox but don't because they can't manage it with group policy since Mozilla just doesn't support it. And there are, I counted 27 places that claim to have group policies implemented for Firefox on Windows. And most of them do pretty much the same thing, although a lot of them are proprietary, so you don't really get to see them unless you buy them. But it's just an administrative template, and it is It looks pretty much just like this. Through a fairly simple text file, they can configure this template, and each of these settings in here applies to one of the Firefox preferences that you'd see in About Config. You also have the ability to lock down certain settings so the users wouldn't be able to change them the same way. And all that you need to do is put these things in the registry and, with a simple logon script, copy them into the right place. I think OpenOffice would be another target, but I think that is a bit bigger task. You could do it quite simply the same way, except if you've ever tried to look at the XML configuration of OpenOffice, it's pretty hairy, and I think you could get lost pretty easily. So that would probably require some kind of GUI to manage that. And then probably the most common request I have when I get group policy, I say, what is it that you want? And they always tell me map drives. I want map drives. And, well, so I guess they had the ability before with an NT domain controller to have a share connect automatically, but now you can have lots of them. So with Windows 2008, there's a special policy extension called Preferences that has a significant number of things. Some of them will apply, some of them won't. The power options, for example, you can specify whether a password is required on a screen unlock. You can set environment variables. You can have files that get replicated from, they're updated from the server. And that would actually, if we did this, it would enable us to do quite a few more applications pretty simply. So since you are not a lot of, there aren't a lot of AD folks here, and maybe there aren't so many questions, but do we have any questions?
So I assume that if you're talking about, I don't know, DNS updates for Linux clients, we're talking about having some sort of a machine account for the Linux machines on the Windows domain as well. Plain vanilla thing.
Yeah, it's basically what we have
yeah. Okay, so
today.
Just the normal setup.
It's the normal setup that we have today with AD joined, with the current Samba 3 using WinBind and just adding stuff onto that to be able to pull all this group policy stuff down.
So how much cooperation will you need from a lot of the Linux apps you want to modify?
Or are you hoping to be able to essentially map the group policies you get back to the Linux config stuff under the covers? So essentially you can thumb your nose at the app writers and say, I don't care, as long as you give me an ability to set this, I'll do it via something else.
Well, I think that really is why I would target something like Firefox first, because you can do something that's commonly used very easily. And I would do a few of the utilities that are pretty common. You might want a user to be able to do one thing as root. So you would target something like sudo. I think once you show it can be done pretty easily, someone has to actually go and write that conversion, but I think you can show that those conversions can be done quickly. Or you can just simply store the configuration files and use the files policy to just move a file over. So it really depends on the application. I mean, we can do it independent of them.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the key, because you may get some feedback from, bloody-minded developers basically saying, oh, this group policy thing, I don't understand it, I'm not doing it.
Right, I fully expect that there will be a lot of applications that will say that, and that the answer is we have to be able to do some of them anyway, and we'll never get them all to cooperate. But
hey, Jim, have you ever looked into a project called Augeas? It was one of the developers. He did it for Puppet, and it's essentially a configuration file. He writes these things called lenses, but it basically gives you a common API for writing configuration files for any application, and then they develop lenses for a specific application. So, and he wrote it specifically to support for Puppet, so I think for what you're wanting to do, I mean, it seems like a perfect fit. So
okay,
I just didn't know if you'd run across it yet.
I have not.
Yeah, Simo knows about it, so you might could ask him, but it seems like a perfect fit for this kind of use case.
Okay, great.
W- One thing I thought was interesting is I've forgotten about the map drives. Can you imagine that, I don't know, AutoMounter or PAM SIFS or PAM SMB2 using that to auto-mount the kernel mounts for NFS or SMB2 or whatever?
I don't see any reason why it couldn't. I mean, you would potentially want to do it. You don't necessarily have to do it from the PAM querying it perspective. You can do it from completely externally. You just make your PAM setup, your configuration for PAM mount. That's the way you might do it, is you do your PAM mount configuration through the group policies. And so when the machine boots, PAM mount, the group policy gets pulled down, that PAM mount gets configured.
Well, today, the system boot doesn't pull down if you can't authenticate the server.
No, this has to be, so at this point, it has to be at least WinBind going.
Yeah.
So it's got to get to that point, so.
And then, of course, you have per user as well as per machine settings that could be overridden.
Absolutely.
Depending on how you choose to log on.
Yep.
So I think that's actually kind of interesting, especially timely, given Jeff Layton spent all that time rewriting the helpers to be safe. Now we could actually use that. So this might make an easier way to configure, get around auto-mounter issues. Are there other things besides this that show up all the time? I mean, I'd seen the Firefox example myself, but other than that?
The ones I get requests for are map drives, mostly map drives, which seems really funny to me that it's really not a hard problem for them to solve other ways, but that's just the one that they always come up with. Really, those are the ones that I see a lot. Have any other questions? We have time for one final question. Somebody, please.
We need to talk about a common registry API to make that nice.
A common registry API with some of...
Yeah. LGPAlt and whatever, cluster aware and...
Yep. I think that's a pretty key part to this. Well, I'm looking for one final question. Come on, someone's got to ask. Somebody has to ask. Please, please. Where's Steve?
Where is Steve? No.
He's right over there. Huh? I prompted about six people.
Okay, thank you very much.
And this is very much a work in progress in terms of the thought process that's going into this. So this is not something that's... Gunther's put the most amount of work into this, but this is something that I intend to pick up at this point. So please, if you have interests in this and opinions about it, come see me and share them, because that'll be really helpful in navigating this. Thanks.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.